Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Tes. We left off on the very bottom of the Amud Beis and the very top of the Amud Aleph. Let's start again, four lines from the bottom of Tzadik Ches Amud Beis. What does it say? The Gemara, Reb Chanina Nofel Kekiyosa. Reb Chanina went to visit the villages. Romulei Kroy Adodi. And then they asked him the following question. Ksiv, I have a steer and two psukim. Says, Vabayis Rebona HaMelech Shloimai. LaHashem, the first base of Midrash Shloim HaMelech built for the Rabbi Shloim, Shishim Amma Orkoi, B'yasim Rochboi, U'shloishim Amma Koi Mosai. We're talking about the dimensions of the Heichal. As you know, the Heichal also includes the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so therefore, from the point that you enter into the Heichal until the final wall of the Kodesh Kadoshim, is altogether Shishim Amma Orkoi, 60 Ammais long, V'yasim Rochboi, 20 Ammais wide, U'shloishim Amma Kemosi, and 30 Ammais tall. Uksiv, but there's another pasuk. It says, V'lefnei HaDvir. Front of the Dvir means the separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim. Is Esrim, so now we're talking about the Kodesh Kodoshim itself, is Esrim Amma Oirech, it's 20 Ammais long, which is consistent with what we said before, because the 60 Ammais that we were talking about, the length of the Heichal, it's 40 of the Kodesh, and then 20 more, Lefnei Advir, which is the Kodesh Kadoshim, 20 and 40 is 60. So that is perfect. V'yasim Amma Roichav, and the Roichav, the width is 20. And that's the same as we have in the previous Pasuk. 20, that's good. But the problem is that the first Pasuk says that the height was Shloishim Amma Kamosai, and now it says V'yasim Amma Kamosai. There was no difference in height between the Heichal generally and Lefnei Advir, the Kodesh Kadoshim. Here it says 20, here it says 30. Make up your mind. Amalehu. So Reb Chanina said, Ki kachoshev misvas kruvim ulamal. When it says in the second one, the truth of the matter is that from the ground all the way up to the ceiling, 30 amis kamasi. That it says in the second pasuk, 20 amis kamasi is talking about from the top of the heads of the kruvim all the way up to the ceiling. And as we explained yesterday, we are familiar with the kruvim that were on top of the arayim in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, like are described in the Torah. But in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you should make two additional kruvim that should be standing on the ground, and they were 10 amos tall. Very, very tall kruvim.
So there were four kruvim.
Right, two, if you will, mini kruvim, miniature kruvim, that were on top of the urn. Yeah. Right, and two besides those. Where did those kruvim stand? The big ones, Rashbam says, one to the right of the urn, one to the left of the urn, but on the ground. Now, since they were 10 kruvim tall, from on top of those kruvim where they ended, until the ceiling was another 20 amos. That's what the second Mishnah says, second Pasuk says. Since Esrim Amma Kemasi means Misvasa kruvim alamal, where the kruvim ended, go up another 20 amos in the air to the ceiling, that's 20 amos. So, for example, my Kamashman, why does the Pasuk need to tell us that there's empty air on top of the kruvim, another 20 amos? Vos is mina nafki mina. Zog timor hakamash. Comes to tell you, now we're on the top of Tzadik Tes Amidalu.
Where did the 60 come in? Where did the
60 is irrelevant for our Gemara. But it was in the first Pasuk. What it said is, right, that when you enter into the Kodesh, not the Kodesh Kodesh, you enter into the Kodesh, what did you see in the Kodesh when you came in? First thing was a Mizbah HaKtoiris, Mizbeach HaKtoiris. And then if you went a little bit further, you saw to the right was a Menorah, and to the left was a Shulchan. That was all in the Kodesh. When you finished with the Kodesh, you got to the Dvir, and now we're into the Kodesh Kadoshim. How much was that? That was 20. So the initial was 40, next was 20, 40 and 20 is 60.
That's what you said earlier. Okay.
It is good.
Yeah.
Very good. But we have a problem with the Koima is not, here it says 30 and here's 20. Says the Gemara, the 20 means Misvas Kruvim Ulamala, where the Kruvim ended because they were 10 tall, add another 20, you get to 30. Freight them on my Kamashmal. What was Menaf Kamin? Our Kamashmal and the Mata Kilamala. Down below is like up above. Mala Mala ain't Mishamish Klum, just like up above, it's just empty air, and there's nothing there blocking anything. It's just one large 20 Amis, 20 by 20 by 20, all up in the air. It's a nice cube. Right, it's 20 amas long, 20 amas wide, 20 amas tall, ein mishamishkul, nothing there. After matter down below, also ein mishamishkul. What do you mean ein mishamishkul? You got the kruvim and you got the oran and all that. Zokim Messiah, Leila Reb Levi, the Omer Reb Levi, the same Reb Yochanan. Dovazim Messiah, we have a Kabbalah, the mokim oroin ukruvim einoy min hamida. Wow. So this is a fantastic nes. What do we mean to say? The oroin, dimensions of the oroin, we have the Torah 2.5 by 1.5. The oroin was situated close to the koisel hama'arovi of the Kodesh Kedoshim, meaning in that you come in from the eastern side, and then if you look into the Kodesh Kedoshim, typically the only person that would do that would be the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim. But nevertheless, you're looking into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the farthest point from when you enter is the Marav Wall. And against the Marav Wall, that's where the Oren was standing. And putting aside the Kruvim just for a moment, the Oren was 2.5 by 1.5, so let's assume that the length, I don't think it's just an assumption, but the length of the Oren was against the wall of the Koisla Marav. I know many of you are thinking, but then what do you do with standing in between the Badim? Without going through all the Yom Kippur Avoida and everything else, just take it for granted, according to Rishbam, that the Oren was against the wall of the Maravi. And now what happens is, that takes up 2.5 amas. If it takes up, or if it's the other direction, 1.5 amas. So now, since the entire Beis HaMikdash from right to left and left to right is 20 amos, that's what we said, right? 20 amos wide. If you have now the Oren, which is occupying, let's make life easy, 2 amos, so then the Choyra, to the right there should be 9 amos, to the left there should be 9 amos, and you have 9 plus 9 plus 2 is 20. But in fact, that's not the case. If you measure from the wall until the Oren, 10 amos. If you measure from the other side of the Oren to the wall, 10 amos, 20 amos altogether. And then if you took a yardstick and you measured from one wall to the other, all to 20 amos. Even if the Oren occupied space. No. Kabbalah mi'aviseinu, einoy min hamida. And the same thing applies to the Kruvim. What was the Masa with the Kruvim? We're going to see in another line or two that each one of the Kruvim was 10 amos wide. And therefore, if you, and Rishbam says that the two Kruvim stood one next to each other, against the back wall, that's the Koisel Maravi, in back of the Oren, or next to the Oren, and therefore each one of them was 10, and 10 is 20. The problem is that the 20 is just the wingspan, the wings themselves, because each one of the Kruvim had two wings. Each wing, as we'll see in another moment, was 5 amos wide, so 5 plus 5 equals roughly 10. You have two Kruvim, 2 times 10 is roughly 20.
That's the whole length? That's the whole width?
That's the whole width. But the problem is that the guf ha-kruvim. Now, if you look in this beautiful picture down below, you'll notice, we don't go with this for current purposes, this is really for later on. But the point is, you see the two wings which are sticking out, and you see the head of the kruvim which is in the middle.
The head and the body below.
The head and the body below?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the point is that if you just talk about the wingspan, if those are 10, plus 10 is 20, what about the Gufa Kruvim, Gufa Yuhechi Abi Amda? Where were they? So those were, again, Einoim and Hamida, we don't count them. Meaning that in theory, let's assume just for argument's sake that the body of the Kruv was itself 1 Amma, so this means this would be 11, and the other one is 1 Amma is 11, it's 22. Yet if you measure from one end of the wall to the other end of the wall, from the Tzofin to the Dorim, from right to left, it's only 20 altogether. Is a simon that the kufa kruvim ain't a min amida, and now the Gemara is going to go through that whole chashuv.
And they look like birch, but I thought they look like.
No, they're reduced to they're not realistic. It's not accurate representation.
My picture is diagonal. That makes
you
sense.
Are correct. Yeah. My picture as well. That's why I'm saying that's going to be one of the pshatim later on in the Gemara. The only reason why I pointed it out is for those of you that have difficulty figuring out where's the guf hakarav in between. So you see this picture. In some of the older Gemaras, the wings are much nicer in terms of spread out and, you know, for fluttering.
Elaborate.
Much more elaborate. And you have the guf in between. And the question is, that's einam en amida, because that is not measured in the pasuk, as we'll see momentarily. So that's what the reason why the second pasuk tells us 20 amos lamala, just like the malim and akruvim, there's nothing there. Here too, in a sense, there's nothing there because the Oren didn't occupy any of the space of the 20. It was there. You saw it. You felt it. And it's a couple of amos long. Nevertheless, if you added that together with the right and the left, it all added up to 20 anyway. which was, of course, miraculous. Natsi Mor is saying the same thing that the Kruvim. Matak kilamala, malamala, im mishamish klum, aflamate mishamish klum. When it says im mishamish klum, it doesn't mean that it's not mishamish. Of course, the Kruvim and this Oren had a very important purpose that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, put him down there in the base of Egypt. It means is that it didn't occupy any space. Aim him in a says him more time, I'll bring you a raya from a bright. So, Orange also Moshe Yeshle Rebach Eser Amis Lachol Ruach Veruach. The Oren of Moshe Rabbeinu had to the right and to the left 10 Amis. Each one, each side 10 plus 10. So 20, 10 plus 10 is 20. The Oren itself was a couple of Amis. Oyoyoy, so where was the Oren? Einim in Amit. Omre Benoy Omishmo. Kruven Benei Sain Oindim. The Kruven was standing Benes. In other words, like we're saying that Einim in Amit. Shenemet says in the Pasik. Chomish Amis Knaf. Hakruv or echos, the chomish amois knaf hakruv hashenis. We're talking about kruv one, and that kruv one had a kanaf of five amos. It had another kanaf of five amos. In other words, it had two kanafim from the right and from the left. You add those together, you got 10. So that's hesser amos. Iktsois knafav v'yaktsois knafav. From one end to the other end is 10 amos. Gufayu hechiyavikayim. So where were the guf of these Kruvim? Because they also must have occupied some space, whether it was a half an Amma, an Amma, two Ammas, three Ammas. But you're saying altogether that there are only 10 Ammas from one to the other, when really there happen to be more. Ella, so we see from the Shmamina B'nais Hein Oindim. From the Lashon HaGemara, it sounds like that each Kruv individually, we already have the Raya. We don't need to talk about both of the Kruvim, because each Kruv we're saying is only 10 Amis, but really it's got to be at least 10 and a half, 11 Amis, 12 Amis. However, the Rishbam says the Rai is not from each individual Kruv, but it's only the two Kruvim together. Why is that? Because the Rishbam says one could learn Pshat in the first Pasuk, when it says at the end, Eser Amis, Miktsois Knofav, Miktsois Knofav, that it's not counting the entire body from right to left and everything in between, but rather it's only counting the wingspan, as if you would detach the wings from the kruv itself, and then you put the two together and you get 5 plus 5 is 10. So it doesn't say absolutely clearly when it says knoich knofav, I'd say knofav, that that means bakal mikal kol, including the kruv. Therefore, says Rishbam, the Rai is from the fact that you had two kruvim together, each one of which, and the Gemara doesn't quote the Pasuk, so it could be that Rishbam had a slightly different girsa in our Gemara. But the Pasuk after that talks about the fact that from Mitzorin, Mitzofoin, Lidorin, since the two Kruvim were standing on the floor against the western wall, so going from right to left, which means from north to south, it was altogether 20, and the two Kruvim, the ends of the wings, were touching each other. Ah, so it should be 20 altogether. But how can it be 20 altogether? What about the Gufi Kufayu? And that's what the Gemara asks. Where are the actual Kruvim themselves, besides the wings? In other words, the figures in between. Where was that? Yeah.
Not to be disrespectful to these rabbis,
but
were they winging it?
Were they?
Winging it?
The winging it. Ah, very good.
Why are we assuming that the wings are coming out of the sides of the body? The wings are coming out of the back.
Okay, so very good. You asked a beautiful, beautiful question, and you're mechaven to the next Gemara's question. The Gemara now poses five or six questions, saying, what is the raya? Maskul Abaya. The Dilma Bolten Kitani Golem Havikani. For those of you that are familiar with Kapora Shlogim, what you do is you pick up the two wings from the top and you go and do the kaparas. You'll notice that in between one wing and the other, there's really no major flesh. Maybe a shamashu or something, because you're holding the two together. You don't squeeze the head in between, right? So where's the head coming out? The head was boiled in the front. And that's why the Gemara is saying is, who says that the guf hakruv was smack in the middle? Maybe the two were coming out like by chickens, like roosters, which is really your question. They're coming from the back, not from the sides, and therefore there's no issue whatsoever. That's question number one. Maskurava, the Zimma Zeh Shalei Keneged Zeh Habakaymi. Who says that they were standing in such a way where the very, very ends of the kanaf touched, that they were in line, very good. Maybe one was overlapping the other, meaning one was, for instance, smack against the wall, and the other one was removed 3 inches from the wall, And that's what it says in the Pasuk, that the two kanafayim of Kruv right and Kruv left, left, right and left, that they were touching each other, not that they were touching each other like the ends of the fingers, but rather that they were
overlapping.
They were overlapping and touching each other. And so therefore the wings were taka touching, but not at the very ends of the wings, but you know, the middle of the wings were touching each other. Is vaita nishkaraya. So inacham is taka 20, and the two kruvim together were maybe 21 or 22, and there was an overlap of an amma or two there and at the end. So this is what's the right. And this is the picture that we have here at the bottom. That's the diagonal, where Poshet is that they were both standing against the wall. You see they have the maravir on top. So they're both standing with their backs towards the wall. If you have the backs towards the wall, then you got a problem. If 20, we're the gufay. However, if you're telling me it was balach soin, like this, everybody knows the hypotenuse is equal to 1.4, right? 1 and 1, 1.4. So if this was 20, so then you have to do 20 times 1.4. How much is that? 28 altogether. 1.4. So it's 20. It's 28 altogether? No, sometimes 28.
1.4 by 20 is roughly 28.
Roughly 28. Shkoyach. So therefore, if it's roughly 28, then you have plenty of room.
Plenty of room.
Yeah, plenty of room. So right there, what's the right? Thank you, yeah. Mask of the spread the wings. Mask of the spread the wings. Maybe the house, as it goes up, gets wider. Right. What does it mean that it gets wider?
Right. We spoke about this a couple of years. The tatoi, as you go up, the stones get narrower, so there's more center of gravity.
Exactly. Right. Yeah,
beam as well.
Exactly. That down below, it happens to be
20 by 20.
The area is not that much. Because you need foundation stones which are wider, but so that the walls should stay intact and strong.
The stones narrow as you rise.
They get narrower and narrower as you get up to the ceiling, because if they would be very, very thick, the entire length and width, then it would be a heavy, heavy pile of stones and eventually might collapse. So therefore the engineers and the construction people would make the walls narrower and narrower as they go towards the top, and therefore now you have more space on top. So maybe where the kanafayim were spreading out and they were touching was on top, and there was 21 or 22 instead of just 20. So down below was not only 20. But, you know, they got wings and the wings were high and maybe there was 22 up above. So vayta no problem. So that's the next question. Maybe they were going and they were closing like closing your fist, meaning you can open up your fist. In other words, when you think of the wings, you think that they're all the way up. But maybe at the ends they were closing their fists.
They rolled in a little bit.
Exactly. They rolled them up a little bit, so to speak. And therefore, then there's still plenty of room. It's the chvaita good that we don't have to worry about the gufayim. Another question. Maskar Ravashi, we do mishalchufi have a mishalchufi. What means shalchufi have a mishalchufi? Says Rishbam, like people do, shechivik es yadav. In other words, they go and fold their hands or the arms one over the other. Says Rishbam, if you're going to ask me then, what about the fact that their kanafayim are touching one another? So it's like when we had COVID, Rahman Litzlan.
Social distancing.
Social distancing. How do people didn't greet each other by going and taking the hand, but
elbows touching.
So that's what you have over here. Maybe the two kruvim folded their kanafayim in, like a person says, Rishbam, choyvik es yadav. And now, how did the kanafayim touch each other? The elbow of one, I don't know if they have elbows, but you get the idea, the folded the wings went and touched the other guy's folded wings. And therefore, might be no problem with the 20. And the Gemara stops over here, and the Gemara does not answer any of these questions. And presumably the reason why the Gemara doesn't answer the question is because we said at the very outset, Shelley's probably already thinking about something with biyodeinu, how that might be related to the wings, but give him a hand. Let's see how we can figure it out.
Rav Acham by Yaakov. So he says they were in diagonal, and that's the picture brought.
Mm-hmm.
Remember earlier in the Masechta, he's the one who was able to make the Sefer Torah exactly 3-1, so it fit perfectly.
Rav Acham by Yaakov, and
there was such a jealousy of him, he died.
So he's
someone who's very, very he was very, very aware of proportions and everything. So we should spotlight his thought, and the Gemara does with his of all the diagrams they show his.
Exactly. See that? Anyway, that's all fascinating. And now the Gemara goes off on a little bit of a tangent, if you will, The Gemara says, Ketzadein Oimdim, how did the two Kruvim stand? Well, you know they were standing next to each other, either straight with their backs towards the wall, or Balachsan, according to that Mandiyamar. But what the Gemara really means is their ponim, the face of the Kruvim, where were those, in what direction? So we have a Machlokes Rabbi Yechon, Blosach Haram, B'nei Ishal Achiv. There's one pasuk that says B'nei Ishal Achiv, meaning that the two Kruvim looked at each other. No, they didn't look at each other. They were, in a sense, like quote-unquote broigis, and they looked straight ahead to the rest of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and not looking at each other. In other words, we have two psukim over here. One pasuk taka says, B'nei Mishal Achim. But another pasuk says, B'nei Labayis. So we have a stira. Loi kasha kamiz man Yisrael oisim tzoyin yishol mokin, kamiz man she'en Yisrael oisim tzoyin yishol mokin. So Rishbam says, B'zman she Yisrael oisim tzoyin yishol mokin, the Kruvim symbolize the ahava that Kodesh Baruch Hu has to Klal Yisrael. Almost like a chosin kala or ish ve'isha that look at each other with a certain degree of affection and love. Here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these, or he mandated that these Kruvim should be Ish Alocha, they should look at one another to go and show that Chiba Yaseira, like the Chiba between Kaviyoch Lerabayin Yisraelim and Kla Yisrael. So that's the Zman Yisrael Oysim Tzayin Shalmokim. If Chas V'Sholim, it's not that case, Yid Nebuch are sinning, what happens is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes it, that yes, the Peinim will look directly at the Kodesh Kedoshim, don't look at each other, as if they're broigis with one another. Just to see beautiful Rashbam, about eight lines from the bottom of the Amid, eight lines from the bottom. Kam bezman sheyisrael oisim tzoyin shel mokin, im hoichvim peneim ze lo ze, dugmas chibas zocher unekeva, oihavim ze lo ze. Like a chosim kala, like a husband and wife. Simen shakodesh baruch hu, oyevis Yisrael, umetchila kach nasu ponim el ponim. That's the way Kodesh Baruch Hu mandated it should be. Ponim el ponim, kidei shetishu shechina bi Yisrael. Bi Yisrael yasur tzoyin shel mokin. However, Rachman Litzon, Kishayin Oisin, Haifam Penehim Labayis Al Yidei Nes. Then they automatically, on their own, turn their faces away towards the Bayis as if they are no longer friendly with one another. So those of the Gemara, that's why the two psukim work. Freit the Gemara, but I have a problem. Well, man yam, Penehim Labayis, Haksiv, Upenehim Ishel Achiv. I don't understand, we just answered that question. We said Penehim Labayis means when they're broyis. Penehim Ishel Achiv, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is happy with Klal Yisrael, there's an Ahava. What's the Gemara's Kasha? Ulmanya. Zugman Meforshim, that the Kasha is, because of Penehim Laboyis, in one of the two psukim that we brought, this is number two, Mipi Kanvi Akru Ma'ila Porsi Amwitz Esrim, etc., Penehim Laboyis, Pasik and Diri Yom. And that Pasik and Diri Yom is describing the initial construction of the Kodesh Kedoshim and the Oroin and the Kruvim. And it's saying over there, Upanem Labayis. And we just said in Rishbam that at the time of the initial creation and erection of the base of Migdash, it was Penem Ishal Achir, because that was the Chibi Yaseir, the Ahava that Kodesh Baruch Hu had, and that's why he said, I'm being short in the Shechinah, and that's why we have a base of Migdash, and Kodesh Baruch Hu short Shechinah in Klal Yisrael, etc., etc. So it's not appropriate to go and start off the construction by saying Upanem Labayis. Upanem Labayis is, you know, Nebuch after the Jews started sinning, but not initially. What we mean to say is that both of them are correct, that it wasn't that they were looking directly at each other. They weren't looking directly at the bias, but in fact it was looking at an angle. The sign like Nunda the Braisa, Unkla Segir Omar, Kruven Masse Tiatuim Hain. But Tiatuim means children. What does it mean it was a mass of children? So Pasha Pshat could be that the faces were like those of children. However, the way the Unkelis targum is, that they would angle themselves like a Talmud who leaves his Rebbe. Meaning, and among those of you that are Hasidim that have gone to Rebbes, you know that when you finish with the Rebbe, after you give him the kvittel and he discusses whatever matters, when you're done, you don't turn your face to the Rebbe, but you walk backwards, at least for the first...
I mean, you don't turn your back to
the Rebbe. Face, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You don't, thank you very much. You don't turn your back to the Rebbe because that's considered to be disrespectful. But if you're going to go totally backwards, guess what? You're going to hit the guy in back of you, or you're going to hit the wall, or you're going to trip over something. So you have to go a little bit of an angle to see where you're going to make sure, you know, don't fall into a pothole or something. So that means, with Tzadon Panayim, that it was slightly at an angle, Ketam and Iftar. So initially, it was Taka Panayim Ishal. Okay. Pneim Labayis means it wasn't totally Yishkalok, it was a little bit slanted towards the wall, and so therefore you Mekai in both.
And when it's Osem Shemakom turned more towards...
From Rishbam, it's Mashav. The Gemara is Mashav that the first man, the Yomer, holds that it was totally the way it's supposed to be facing that facing Ishalochim.
Right.
That was initially.
Right.
Presumably 50 years later, 100 years later, whatever, then they... But according to the second man, the Yomer, where it says, Ufuneyam, Alaboyas, that already at the outset it was Panayim Laboyas.
What is that? It
was already 45 degree angle at that time. Exactly. I don't know, 45, but at a slant.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Dr. Mishnah Vaita, Mishish Lebor Lefnimi Baisoy Shel Chaveroi. Person has a bor in the other guy's bais. How do you have a bor in somebody else's?
He sold him the bor.
Or he sold them the bais.
Right.
And he left the bor for himself. And now one of the two owns the bor, one of the two owns the bais. And the boar person wants to get to the person's bais.
Normally the boar is excluded, we said, right?
I'm sorry, once again?
The boar is normally excluded. When you sell
unless you say, kavaruma.
Right.
Very good.
That's how it does well.
So not only kavaruma, is not enough. So kavaruma is only to go and dig under the house. You have to go into mitachtis tohima ad roim rakia. Very good. You remind us now of Rosh Hashanah that you have to ad roim rakia. We down below have to mispal to the one above.
We have the wellsprings of Torah to help us get
the wellsprings of Torah. Beautiful. Anyway, so getting back to our Mishnah. So the person who has the bor, he needs to get to the bais. Now, how does he get to the bais? He doesn't own the property.
Right.
How can he even walk there?
And
what does Rabbi Akiva hold?
And
therefore, what does he have to do?
And
what does the Rabbanan hold?
Bayin
Ra. So does he have to buy a derech?
Yes.
No, he
doesn't.
Does
he sell him the boar or he sell him the house?
Very good. Exactly. Assuming that he sold him the house and he retained the boar for himself,
he keeps
does he have to go and buy an easement to get to the boar right eventually? According to Chum, you don't have to because it's buying a rug. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you have to buy.
Can we hold line?
That's the reason why I want to point out. But look at the Rishbam. The Rishbam at least quotes Rabbi Akiva. Look at the last four lines of Rishbam. Yishish labari de chaluka. Oy shalochem mibalabais. The lokach gam haderech. And he also purchased the derech. Why do you have to go and purchase the derech? According to Rabbanan, it's bayin ra, and then you automatically retain for yourself. Halamai, we're learning like Rabbi Akiva, because bayin yofa, which is a good omen now that it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, that the Kodesh Baruch should look also on Klal Yisrael bayin yofa. Just like Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah. So he had a boy that's named Beit Shechavei, right? Now, he bought the derech, or he got the derech, the bar, the kibbutz, whatever it is, he has a derech. The question is, when can he go to the bar? Says the Mishnah, in other words, only during the day. Don't go 12 o'clock at night, traipsing through the other person's house to go to the bar. Only during the day. But in a machnes behemtoi, he also cannot bring his behemah in, to go and drink from the bar. When's the last time would you like to have a behemoth traipsing through your front door, going through your foyer and into the living room and then down to the basement, down to the bar? I mean, you don't want that. So rather, what does the bar have to do? He has to draw the water and then take it outside and give it to the behemoth to drink in the behemoth's trough. Don't bring him into the house. And the man mashkim b'chutz, he fills up the trough from outside and he gives the behemoth outside. To the bar, which had a cover, you had two locks on it. One lock belonged to the Baal HaBayis, and one lock belonged to the Baal HaBar. And now, the obvious question is, I can understand why the Baal HaBar needs a lock, so that the Baal HaBayis shouldn't go and steal from his water. But why does the Baal HaBas, why is he entitled to a lock? The bar doesn't belong to him. And that's going to be the Gemara's kasha. When you say that the two locks, where the two locks? Rav Yochanan and Shneim Labar, both are on the bar. I guess one from the right, one from the left. So the Mishnah of Balabar, boy, the Shterume, the Shtamure, Maya, the Boire. I can understand why the Balabar needs a lock because he wants to protect that nobody should take the water of the bar, whether it's the Balabais or a third party intruder. So he needs a lock. And the Balabais, Lamale, it doesn't belong to the Balabas. What does he have a lock for? Oh, Amrav Lozar, Yishom Chshad Ishtoi. Chas v'sholim, what happens if the Baal HaBas during the day is in the office or in Bis Medrash, learning the daf, saying slichas, whatever he is doing, and the wife is at home, she's the Akeris HaBayis. she's preparing for Yom Tov, for Shabbos, or whatever. And now the person who has the bar says, well, I need water. And he comes in the middle of the day. I can't come at night. I'm going to come now during the day, and the Bala bus is not home. Now he's going to come frequently. I need more water, back and forth. And Chas V'Shalom, the Shechinim are going to say, hey, the former owner, he keeps on coming back in and out, and I know that the wife is there. Who knows, Chulil V'Chas, what's going on? Maybe the same Tilim together for Eretz Yisrael and for her. Maybe the same Tchinis. Who knows? But on the other hand, Chas V'Shalom, you know, Masa Mashal Lo Yei Asu. Maybe they're doing nefarious affair and they're toying me. So therefore, the Balabas always has to be present when the Balabar wants to draw the water. Because the Balabar is going to come in. He can't get in because there's a lock on the bar. So he's not going to come in during the day. And if he does come in during the day when the Balabas is not there, then it'll be useless vis-a-vis the bar, but then there'll really be a Chashad Ishtai. So therefore, we make sure that there are two combinations or there are two locks. And therefore, neither of them can enter into the bar's waters without the other one. So the balabar doesn't have to worry about that the balabais will steal from his water. And the balabais doesn't have to worry that the balabar is going to come in at a time when he's not there, because then he's just going to waste his time without being able to get to the water. So, Mishim Chshadishta. Zokti Mishabaita. Mishi Yeshla Gina Lefne Miginosi Shel Chaveray. You have two ginas which are one next to the other. And as we've discussed this in the past, we're not talking about here about apartments. But if you were talking about apartments, in the real estate lingo, they call it a railroad apartment. That you can't get into one apartment without traipsing through an outer apartment. That's the way they were constructed. So here too, to get to my gina, I have to go through my chaver's gina to get to it. Now, this is, once again, Nichlas v'shoshim ne'derech v'ne'odim nichlas v'yoyz v'derech v'ne'odim. He doesn't have a 24-hour right. He either bought an easement, or when they sold it, maybe again, Rabbi Kivim at Rabbanan, whatever. But Lamaisa, he cannot go 24 hours. He can only go during normal working hours when you would normally go into a gina. After all, it's not your gina. You're going, you're traipsing through Kinasa Shel Chaveras, even though you have a right of entry, but don't abuse it 24 hours, only when people typically go. And even during those times when people typically go, don't bring with you merchants, meaning, let's say in this gina, he is growing. We don't think of a gina as just being a garden, but very often we talk about in the Gemara that the gina, they used to go and plant in it, tomatoes, potatoes, whatever, vegetables, what have you, spices. And therefore spices. So now you have a tagger that comes, and you want to go and sell him all the produce, and presumably you want the tagger to bring the workers to uproot all of the spices or whatever, or you're just getting him ready. You mentioned tomorrow will be delivery. I want you to pay me already today. Take a look how much you have over there. Seems to be here the equivalent of a chvais volume of 20 saw, 20 pounds, whatever it happens to be. Don't bring the tagger in, because it's going to be a hefkadika place. You have the right of entry yourself, but no tagger.
Restricted just to you.
Exactly. V'lo yikonis mitoich l'toich soda acheres. What happens if, besides this gina, the person who owns the gina hapnimi, who's going through the gina hachitzoini or hachitzoinis, also happens to have a soda further on next to his gina hapnimi. And he could get, there is access to it from another direction, but it's quicker and closer. There's a shortcut if he goes through Kinosa Shel Chaveri. Says our Mishnah, the only heter that you have of right of entry to your Gina Hapnimi is only if you're going for that express purpose, then you can go through the Gina Hachitzai. However, if you're using it as a shortcut for another property somewhere, that you're not allowed to do, because that's not what the deal was. It's just to get to that particular gina that belongs to you that you cannot get to without going through the outside one. Now, there is a derech that you, in other words, the space that occupies the road on which the person who lives in the panimi, not or who owns the panimi, he has to go on a particular derech. So what is that derech? To just leave it barren? No, since it belongs to the outer gina person, v'achitzoin, that outer person, zarei as a derech, he can go and plant it. Obviously, there's going to be some damage to the crops as a result of the pnimi traipsing through it back and forth. Okay, but that's, you know, that's part of the deal. But he has a right to be zarei as a derech. Now, that's if the derech is smack in the middle of the property. What happens if the two said to each other, particularly the chitzin man says to the gina man, you know, it's really not good that you walk straight through, because then I have problems with my crops and other problems. Can you do me a favor? Let's go on the side of the Gina, which may not be ideal from the Gina Panimi's perspective, but he agrees. They worked it out together. They negotiated. Maybe that was part of the price, particularly if he had to buy it, like Rishbam said in the Yom Adalet. So he had to go and buy that derech, and they agreed, instead of having a gina, a derech straight through the middle, menatzat. And they agreed to medashneim. In other words, it's not that he was kofen oso at shiyomi reitza. They worked it out. So now, nichla b'shoshu reitza, v'yoyt b'shoshu reitza. Since this is no longer smack in the middle, this is to the side, this presumably offers privacy to the chitzayin individual, and now he's no longer concerned about the pnimi person walking straight through the middle at all times of the day and night. He only can walk during the day, but his man, the people walk. Since it's now on the chitzayin, that's already on the fringes of his property, so then the pnimi person can walk at any time, 24 hours a day. And already at this time, he can bring in merchants. But nevertheless, the whole purpose of this road is only to allow him to get into his gina. Otherwise, there is no access, no egress, there's no way of getting there. So that was their kavanah, to use this as a shortcut for another property, to shenisht. The zevezeh ain rishon lezoira, because they have agreed together that it's min hatzad, therefore it's really not necessary for the well-being of the entire gina. This is really at the fringes, and it's intended, says Rishbam, lehiloch greda. This is really intended
so just that space. It's not, space. It's not for cultivation.
Exactly. Nobody should cultivate it. Neither he nor he. Okay.
Why do we worry about it? Why should they cultivate it? Why let it stay?
Who should cultivate it? The chitzman or the pinim?
Well,
no,
they need it for a path.
If they want to agree, they can agree. Yeah. But in the absence of an agreement, then it's really no man's land by cultivation.
Stone, so it's just going to lay fallow.
Look at
so
the Rishbam.
Well, you're walking on it.
Why no, you can walk, but you can still.
It's a waste. It's a waste of seed and fertilizer. It's going to be tread on.
Why about the middle?
Because in the middle, you have enough economy of scale. You want to be able to plant everything and work everything, but on the side there's not that much of the economy scale, because that's where the property ends.
As well as since he's only walking maximum 12 hours of the day, not 24, and he's not bringing in Tagarim or anybody else, so the amount of walking is much less than if it's on the side, where he can go 24 hours and he can bring in Tagarim and presumably visitors and this and that, so therefore it would be worthless to go and plant. It's all going to be presumably destroyed.
Tread on.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Rav Yonah Shmuel. Amma beis hashlochem. Now we are leaving the case of our Mishnah with the Gina Pnimim and the Gina Chitzoini. We're now talking about an Amma. What's an Amma? An Amma, by definition, is an irrigation canal that brings water from a well or from a stream somewhere, and it irrigates a particular field. The reason why it's called an Amma, Rashi says elsewhere, is because it had the dimensions of an Amma. Therefore, it became known as the Ammas Hamay. But what are the dimensions over here? From Yehuda Mishmuel, Amma Beis Hashlochem. Amma Beis Hashlochem means an Amma for a field that requires additional irrigation. In other words, just having rainwater is not sufficient. Ani Moichaloch, I'm selling you the Amma Samayim. In other words, the right to have this Amma go through my property to your property. So we're not talking about a derech from the Chitzit Tepanimi. We're talking about an Amma that's going through a chitzin to panimi. Doesn't have to be a chitzin to panimi. It's just an amma going from a stream, going from the stream to my property. I have to go through your property. I mean, I could presumably go and do it all the way around, but that would be very expensive, and it would be cumbersome.
And labor intensive and time consuming.
As well as the water wouldn't flow naturally. You know, for the water to flow naturally, you have it directly from the stream through your property to my property. I'm a chai. If you have to go all the way around, then you have to have some sort of machine to push the water along when it's when there's no water pressure.
They didn't have machines, they had people.
People, ought to say. Fine. So you have to have a...
They tried to go with the flow.
Okay. So we're going to try to go with the flow too. So I'm a Bezer Shlach and Imoy Chalach. What are the dimensions? Says our Mishnah, says our Gemara. You know, Shmuel. No, you suddenly base Amis L'Toycha. Two Amis wide. The Am Mikan Agafer. As well as an amma on the right side and an amma on the left side for the banks of this amma, so that in case you had a problem that with the amma, you could bank on it that you know that it's going to work well and all the rest.
But okay. It's called an amma. Why do you have beis ammas?
Very good question. So at the moment it says beis ammas latoicha, amma from one side, amma from the other side. That's the first pshat of the Rishbam. Then the Rishbam says there's another pshat that not that we're adding 2 + 1 + 1 for Amis, but really that the Beis Amis Latoicha is the introduction, and now the Shmuel's explaining what did I mean when I said Beis Amis Latoicha. I didn't mean Beis Amis in the Amma itself. What I meant is, for the benefit of the Amma, Beis HaShlachim, you have to have one Amma Mikan and one Amma Mikan, which together add up to two Ammas.
So it's three Ammas altogether, one Amma in the center.
What you're saying is correct, but not the Rishbam says that befeirish, but that is implicit, since we know from elsewhere that the Amma's width is typically one Amma, and since Shmuel is saying that the two agapayim is one Amma here and one Amma there. So it's three altogether. But the Rishbam doesn't go to that level of detail. He just says in the first pshat, two in the middle, 1 + 1. And then the second pshat, he says no. And Rishbam prefers the second pshat, that the ikka, the Amma that we're talking about, that the two Ammas that Shmuel meant initially was one to the right and one to the left.
The tocha not into it, but for its...
Yes, yeah, the tocha is a bisl shvet,
right,
exactly.
Right.
If you want to take a quick look at the Rishbam,
please.
See about 10 lines before the wide lines, Amasamayim, which says Gemara, right? Amasamayim, Gedoyla, Kilahashkis, Beis HaShlochen, Ani Moichalach, Agreise Amasamayim. The reason why the Rishbam says it, because we're going to have another case in a moment of a smaller Amasamayim. We'll get to that in a moment. Ani Moichalach, Turech Litin Loi, Shtei Amas Baroichem. It has to be too wide. And Shim Ktari, what happens if he measures it? In fact, it's only one Amma wide. Yachba bekarke v'archiben hachtei amis. Automatically, standard rate, standard size, to amis. He can enlarge it. Kedei shivoy lekan mayim harbe. You need a lot of water. She says, shiur lehashkes beis hashlochim. And in addition to the two, the gamnoisen le'amim min asod mikan, li'amim mikan, mishnei gedoisim, on the two banks. Kedei letaken mi'oise karke agafeha, shel amis amayim in yibbol. What happens if from time to time you see that the irrigation ditch seems to be collapsing, the walls are falling in, whatever, so you have to have room in the field to be able to play with it and to fix it and to cement it and to work with it and blah, blah, blah. So you need a bank on this side, one bank that, an amma on each side. That's pshat what number one. So you see very clearly, two in the middle, 1 + 1. Lishna achrina, amma beis yishlachanim moichalach. What does that mean? Noisim leshtei amma is the toicha shal sade, not the toicha of the amma, the toicha of the field. The takin agafel, amikan v'amikan. B'shemer b'yanka b'yoka v'ikr. So the Rishbam seems to prefer the second pshat. Presumably, why does he prefer the second pshat? Because what you asked, how can you have shtei amma s'toicha? Don't we know that it's called an amma because
it's an amma wide, an amma deep.
Oh, so that what you just said now is the top choices. If you look at the top choices, noisle shtei amma s'toicha, isvarim de garsi v'amma, which sounds like two in the middle, one on the right, one on the left. Yesh lafarish beis amma s'toicha hinu laharchiv amas hamayim shtei rechov shtei amos. So that's like what the Rishbam said initially, right? You have two in the middle. If it's only one, spread it out, dig it out until you have two ammas wide. Ay, mashi kruya amma. Didn't we always call it amma? That means it's only one amma. Shem de oimka amma, the depth, meaning from the height of the surface, going down to the bottom of this amma, there has to be a full amma. But in terms of the width, it could talk. It'd be two ammas.
Part of the second lesson, then, that you're talking, you're giving, it just, you get anything on the banks?
Yes.
So you get, so it's a, giving two in the field.
That, those are the banks. You're getting the, in the field where your, the amma is running, you get one bank on the right, one bank on the left, each one amma wide. So the difference between the two pshatim is...
Is it two amas wide or one amas wide in the actual...
In the actual
amma itself.
Bar itself. Yeah. And the way I say bar. The actual amma itself.
The dish itself.
Why don't we call it the amas hamayim? The amas hamayim itself. According to the pashup pshat l'choira, when it says beis amas l'toicha, that means the width of the amas hamayim, you have to allow him for two amas. And in addition, the amma mikan l'agafel. So it's four altogether, from right to left, four amas altogether.
Right.
Rishbam says that the ikub shot is not like that. In fact, that when Shmuel says beis amas l'toicha means two amas in the field, and what are those two amas in the field for? We're not talking about the amas amayim. We're talking about the banks of the amas amayim. Amma mikan, the amma mikan. So it's Shmuel is being somewhat repetitive, but he's also explaining what did I mean when I said two amas l'toicha. Don't think I mean two amas inside the amas amayim. No, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about amma mikan, the amma mikan. As far as what the width of the amma samayim is, Shmuel doesn't address that according to the Rishbam, But because of our Torah knowledge, we would say that means it was Amma in the middle, and one to the right, and one to the left. But what do we do with the first pshat that says that there are two in the middle? If you're telling me an Amma Samayim that it's only one Amma, says the Torah, he says we're not talking about the width, we're talking about the depth.
So the one who gets the area has his Dalet Amos.
Exactly, has his Dalet Amos. Yep.
But according to the second shot,
yes.
I understand that it means he's given two in the middle of the field, and that's it.
Just what means two in the middle of the field?
Right.
To the right and to the left of the Amos Amayim. The Amos Amayim is running straight down the field.
Easement? We're talking about the easement pertinent to the Amos Amayim.
We're talking about the bank of the this.
We're talking about there's an Amos Amayim, and then there's an easement
right.
That
so
goes with
it. I would read it means that he gets in the middle of the field. He just gets two Amos.
Not to the middle of the field. We mean the banks of this particular Amos Amayim.
Right.
He's just explaining himself.
Right, wherever it is in the field, he has the right to dig to, you know, have two Amos.
To reinforce it.
Right, but I would understand it to mean that it's just the Amos itself is two Amos wide, mm-hmm. and there's nothing for the banks.
See, look again. Lishna Achrina, first white line. Like you're saying,
right.
In the field, not in the Amma, in the right. Field, the Takin Agafer, to go and fix the banks. How much do I give in the field? I give two Amas. Amma Mikan, one Amma to the right of the Amma Samayim. The Amma Mikan, one to the left of the Amma Samayim.
So he's not talking about the Amma itself. He said the Amma's already there.
Right, it's accompanying support Amma, support
right.
Space.
Okay.
Exactly, accompanying support
space. Like we had with the boar, you had to give so much.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Also a couple of tvachim here, and we also had the person who had harvested his thing.
Right.
So you have to have that extra space. Fine. Now we continue on. That was a regular Amma Samayim. What about an Amma Beis HaKiloyim? Now this is already a smaller Amma. What do you use this Amma Samayim for? So the second line of Rishbam says you use it, for instance, L'hashkis Behemois, you use it as a feeding trough for the animals to drink from, or Achitzas B'Gadim V'Kelim, or you use it for laundry or for washing your dishes, dishwashing. Main Gadol Kol Kach, you don't need that much space. Recently, Amma Achas L'Toicha L'Archivan Ad Amma. Here, according to the first pshat again, we said that the big, normal Amma Samayim is two wide and one plus one. Here, it's only one Amma wide in the middle because you don't need that much water. Lishna Achrina, but according to the second pshat, and what about Agafel? So we didn't learn in the Gemara yet. The Gemara is going to say, Chutzi Am Mikan, V'chutzi Am Mikan. Exactly half of the size of the Amma Samayim is the Amma Space Ha Kilayim. Lishna Achrina, says Rishbam, that's what the Moicher sold him. He's going, Chatzi Am Mikan, Chatzi Am Mikan. That's the Iker Pshat, like the first Pshat. The second Loshin was the Iker. Here too, by the Am Beis Asila in Sidr Rishbam, the Talishna Achrina, that's the Iker Pshat, that we're not referring to the Toicha Shel Amma, or Amma Samayim, we're talking about the Toicha Shel Karka of the field. Good. So getting back now to the Gemara. So Amma Beis HaKilayim Moichalach. He's selling it for the water for the animals or for laundry or for dishwashing, etc. Noisli Amma Achas L'Toicha. Again, according to the first Pshat, Amma L'Toicha means inside the Amma Samayim itself. V'chatzi Amma Mikan, V'chatzi Amma Mikan, therefore the Agafel. And therefore all of that together is two Amois, right? One inside, half and half is two. According to the second Pshat, no. What the size of the Amma itself is, the more it doesn't address, presumably an Amma because it's called an Amma, or maybe because this is a smaller Amma, so it's only Amma space Akilin, maybe it itself is only a half an Amma, or three quarters. The more it doesn't address that, but what the more it does address is the Toicha Shul Soda, the Agafel, he have to have a Chatzi Amma from this side and Chatzi Amma from that side. Frankly, more voice in Agafai, Mizoira, since we spoke about in the Mishnah about that road that goes through the Chitzin to the Pnimi, that the Chitzoin man, he has the right to go and plant. Who has the right to plant on these Agafayim, the banks of the Amma? Rav Yudah Mishmul, Bala Soda Zoyr Am. Rav Nachman Mishmul, Bala Soda Noit Am. Both of them agree that who has the rights to planting, it's the Bala Soda, not the Bal Amma Samayim. The Bala Samayim has a right to go and traipse and walk on that bank to go and fix the Amma from time to time if it is in trouble of collapsing or other problems. However, excuse me one second. Okay, getting back to, so everybody agrees it's the Balasoda who is in charge of planting. One says Zoyram, which means you can go and plant in a Tvua or other types of plants. Mashenkin balasod noitim means you can go and plant trees. So you're wondering to yourself, what is the machlokes mikotzer lakotzer? Says the man, the yom is zoyrim koshki noitim. The ones is that you're allowed to be zareya crops over there. You can certainly be noitea crops. Man, the yom, and then not crops, trees. Man, the yom noitim. The one says you can put trees al zoyrim loy, but don't go and plant crops. Why? Kis chulchule mechalchule. So what's pshat over here? So Rishbam says when you're planting trees, the trees' roots go down, and therefore they're going to avoid touching the amasamayim, which is right next to it. So you have nothing to worry about. So madach yelada be zireya zroyim. You could certainly go and be noitea trees where the roots go down.
Loss of water will be less.
I don't know roots. I've seen roots of trees go so sideways.
So let's go back to that in a moment. Let's go back to
that. We've had that in the Gemara.
All right.
25 amos.
Because when you do zoyram, by definition, you are irrigating and you have seeds over there and they're sprouting, so there's a lot of moisture there. And that moisture is going to undermine the walls of the amasamayim. The whole amasamayim can easily fall in and collapse. So therefore, don't be zareah, only be noteah. That's how the Rishbam learns Pshat in our Gemara. I see everybody's concerned and everybody's nervous. Yeah. So let's take a quick look at the Rishbam. Fourth line, Bal Soda Zoyram, fourth wide line. The Domin Lamasnisen, similar to Mishnah. Dem Shibed Loy Likach Ofer Mikan, Im Yitztarach. Yeah. Loy Yevsilu the Gamri, Bekach Melazorim. Just because you have the right to be Mesakin the Amasamayim from the offer on the two banks, but it doesn't mean that Bala Soda loses the right to be Zoreah. Just like in our Mishnah, he allowed the person to traipse through his property to get to the Gina
Abnimis. Whatever damage transpires, and that's it.
Exactly, but he has the right to plant it here too. So one that says, Zoyrim Kol Shkini Noitam, Deina Mekalkal O Agafayim, Shashuroshim Mamikim Harbe, they go down very deep, they Mazikin Es Sfosai. Aba Zoroim Mispashtin, Miyad B'teich HaShloisha, whatever little roots, whatever you have from these seeds, as the seeds sprout, so roots come out and they remain close to the surface, they go, and they can mechalchel, they undermine the karka, which is on top of the bisvosoi, right next to it, and therefore the whole thing can go and collapse. So now, all of you are reminding us of earlier Gemaras. We had back and towards the beginning of the Masechta that if a person has, for instance, a bar or a soda on one side of the meitzar, of the boundary, then you're not allowed to go, for instance, and put up a tree over there. And in fact, the Gemara said if you want to go and plant a tree, depending on the tree, sometime up to 25 or even up to 50 amos, the roots can spread. They're not going to happen in one day, but over time, the roots were going to go wider and wider and wider, and therefore they're going to go and destroy the other guy's bar next door. Mm-hmm. So you have to be marchik your ilon from the meitzah. So we see that an ilon's shroshim do spread out to the width and not only to the depth, which is what David was asking, which what Brother Barry was asking, which what Brother Shai was nodding to. So everybody was agreeing to this plot, right? We have a bezin for Torah Sadarim, we have a bezin here for the problem of the ilonis.
Oh. Everyone was taking the same route.
They were taking the same route.
Oh.
That's the root of the problem.
Especially when you're planting it, initially the roots aren't going to go down, they're going to go sideways because it's going to smell the water.
Oh. Mm. So sad. So apparently what you have to say is that there's a fundamental difference between a bar and between amasamayim. Because a bar goes very, very deep into the karka. A typical bar is 10 amas deep, and therefore, because you want to have it as a cistern to collect water, blah, blah, blah. Here, to an amasamayim, which is very, very shallow. It only barely goes. Well, we said it's an amma deep according to the Tosfos, right?
We're not burying anybody there.
Okay, so an amma is 6 tvachim, not even 10 tvachim. They're 6 tvachim. And so therefore, even though we say that the tree's roots go and spread to the right and to the left, not just down to the depth, but apparently even they don't go mamish on the surface,
oh,
but
really?
Rather...
walk on West End Avenue.
That's because originally there was earth on top of it, and then over time, the winds blew that earth away, and that's why, but could be that initially the earth was 5 or 10 inches higher than that,
right.
And that's why typically when you go to anywhere besides the park or West End or whatever, you don't see the roots are underneath. When you see the roots, it's usually because the top soil has been blown away because of the ruchos. Anyway, David disagrees, and bottom line is that's Pshat Nigmar. And we continue on. The Amar Rav Shmuel, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. What happens? Amas Amayim Shekolu Agafel. What happens? The Taka fell in. The banks fell in, and there was a run on the banks, oh. And then therefore, and now the whole thing collapsed. Now what happens now?
It's a crisis.
Yeah, a big crisis. So we have to go and fill up once again and make nice Agafel, so they should be tall, so that the Amas Amayim has a depth of the six Tvachim of the Amma. So what are we going to go and do? So you have to bring soil from somewhere. So where is that somewhere? Masakin the Oysa Soda. Go and be masakin from that field. And if right next to where the former banks of the Amas Amayim are no longer there, so go to the right, to the left, to the north, to the south, and dig out some earth from somewhere else, and now we'll replenish the Agafen and reestablish them. It should be good, strong Stark. Banks. Go and put in capital, you know, so there should be strong exactly. banks. We should have a problem. Exactly. Anyway, so Masakim Oysa Soda, you don't have to import or buy soil from outside, but rather you can use it from that field. Why? Because it's crystal clear that any of the
soil is lost.
Lost. Where did it get lost? It didn't go from here to Australia. Right. It went to another part of the field somewhere. Therefore, just schlep it back and reestablish
it. You dredge
it can't if it's lined.
So you'll see that we're not so happy with that. Masker Rabba, but Le Malay, Mayecha Ishbelu Al Arech. Don't look at me. You know why the banks fell in? Because you had, Baruch Hashem, this nice flow of water, and this flow of water kept on undermining the walls of the Amma, and eventually the Amma fell in because of all that water that they were mashed. They collapsed it. So it's your headache, it's not my headache. Why are you automatically assuming that I'm the bad guy, that it's my soil? No. You're the one that
caused it. Water carries the soil down to your fields.
Yeah, so that could also be. Exactly. This is implicit that when a balasada agrees to someone to have an easement for his amas amayim, whether it's explicit or implicit in the contract, that's the din, that's the stipulation, that if and when this amas amayim needs to be fixed, not only do you get the benefit of the agafer, one amma and one amma, or half an amma and half an amma, but you also, if they in fact collapse, you have a right to go and take soil from somewhere else and to refix it and reestablish it. Next mission. Zot mission. Misha oisa derech harab iveres otoich sodeil. Person has a field and people are walking through the field. And what he wants to do is he doesn't want to walk straight in the middle of the field. Let them walk to the side of the field. Like we had in the earlier Mishnah that the chitzin and the panimi got together and said, you know what, instead of going through the middle, go through the side and they can do that. Now he wants to do that with the rabbin. Unfortunately, he's not going to get everybody in the rabbin to sign a document saying, I agree, let's move the path to the right or to the left. So if there was a derech harabim, the mission is going to tell us in another two lines, means 16 amais wide, where people were walking and traipsing through his field. Notla, the nosel hem atzad, if he said to him, Rabbi Isai, putting up a big sign today, no more walking through my field 16 amais, I give you 16 amais min atzad. Good idea. So therefore the whole property is intact for plowing and for planting and walking, going, blah, 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 and the rabbim should go on the side. Says the Mishnah, he is only 50% successful. Masha Nosan, Nosan. That he gave the Rabbim now Minatzad, that becomes theirs. Once they start using it, it's now theirs. But unfortunately, he doesn't get back the Derech HaRabbim that he wanted to get back. And now the Rabbim are going to have two paths. One through the middle, where they had until now, and one Min Hatzad.
Well, why would you do that?
Why is that? And the Gemara is going to ask it as soon as we reach the Gemara. Now, instead of Derech HaRabim, what happens is Derech HaYochid. Derech HaYochid is Dalar Amas. Derech HaRabim is Sheish Esrei Amma. But bottom line, it's the same issue that you lose both what they're using until now, as well as the Minatzat. Now, the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent. Mishnah, Derech HaMelech Ein Lashir. When it comes to Derech HaMelech, if the Melech wants to go and confiscate any property,
Eminent domain,
he has that right at any time, and he can even say, we're taking down this building over here, this skyscraper, you got to remove
it. The sky's the limit.
And in terms of the earth, it's also earth is the limit. It's limitless. Oh, that's good, because the sky is not a limit, but on the earth, it's ain't lashir. There's no limit. Very good. That's Derech HaMelech. Similarly, Derech HaKever ain't lashir. What happens if they have to get to a caver somewhere, then, and they have a deal, once again, a right of access to the caver, also ain't lashir. You can have at the Leviathan 10,000 people all walking through his property. He can't say, no. Not more than 10 every half hour. You have to let everybody go through English. However, the Rishbam says although the Mishnah uses the term in Lashir both by the Derech HaMelech and the Derech HaKev, we don't mean exactly the same. Because by the right of confiscation and eminent domain, you can even take away whole buildings and properties and whatever you want. That's the Derech HaMelech. While for the Derech HaKever, it's only like for a Levaya, then anybody and everybody can go through the property because of the Yakr, the Shichvi. We want to go and give cover to the mess, so everybody has a right to go through, but they don't have the right forever and ever. They only have the right during the time of the Levaya. And they can't be Poreitz Binyonim, says Rishbam. They can just walk through it. So you look at the Rishbam, the Nir Be'enai. Nir Be'enai, it's about, I don't know, 12, 13 lines from the bottom. Towards the beginning of the line, there's a period. Then the Nir Be'enai, this is soft font. Nir Be'enai, Ode'en Lashir, the Mace, Lechomer Kederach HaMelech. We don't mean that's like Derech HaMelech, Ein Lashir. Lifreitz Binyonim, to go and destroy buildings. Lehafz and Mamun Achirim. And Lehalech Al Gabi Tvur, V'Leyatiyom and Esmoil. They can go towards the caver. On top of the Tvor, I'm sorry, Tvor, you're going to be ruined, but you know, it's a big Levaya. But don't go to the right and to the left, go wherever you need to get to the Keber. And then he says, perhaps the second Pshat, he says, Moichet Derech HaKeber. Anyway, but getting back to our Mishnah. Now, finally, Hamamod, the Yonit Tzipori Omru, Beis Arbo Akab. For purposes of Hamamod, the Dianim of Tzipori said, that Shir is a Bo Akab. So you have two questions. First of all, what does Mamod mean? And who are the Dianit Tzipori? And on both of those, the Rishbam says, we don't have an answer at this time. Hamamad, Rishbam says, be Gemar Mefarish, on the Kuf and Mitchum, tomorrow we're going to learn that. What Mamad means, Dianit Tzipori, says Rishbam, lo yisparish, chveis nish. I don't know who the Dianit Tzipori are, but whoever they happen to be, they said that the Shir is a Shir of Arba'as Kavan. What is the Shir of Arba'as Kavan? So Rishbam makes a very simple cheshbon. We know that there is something known as Sasayim Kechotzer HaMishkon,
right,
which was 50 by 100, which is 5,000 square amas. A Beis So'ah is therefore half of that, which is 2,500 square amas. Here we're talking about that it was not a full So'ah, it was four Kavan. How many Kavan are there in a So'ah?
Six.
So four out of six means two-thirds. So it's two-thirds of that area that normally be 2,500, make your cheshbon, but it comes like 1,800, something like that, 1,600, 1,800, 1,700. So that would be the shear for the Mok and the Mamet. What is the Mamet for? Let him to be continued to part. Now you asked, when we were learning the Mishnah, this doesn't seem to be fair. He gave away the side of the property to be able to retain the middle of the property.
He loses both.
What's the reason why? Limkoit Pizra, why can't he stand there on the Mokum that was used previously for Leisiv, or sit down? Pizra, says Rishbam, is like a baseball bat. He doesn't use the term baseball bat, but to take a lange shtekin. Anybody that wants to go, he says, no trespassing. You have room over there on the side. Why can't he do that? The Gemara goes through several potential reasons. The Gemara is going to include it tomorrow, because Meitzah Shechzikabay Rabim, Osla Kalkale. Once you have a Meitzah Rabim, you can't take that away. Why? When? For tomorrow's Dab. The body says that you bench, that you're in. And I ask.